a case study from St. Luke's Institute in Silver Spring, Maryland. St. Luke's Institute mission is to serve clergy in particular who have had some psychological problems and need some counseling. People who have gone into depression or drank too much, this is some of the roles that they play. The case study is titled Social Skills and Emotional Intelligence. It's by Emily R. Cash, who is a clinical psychologist at St. Luke's Institute. And the name of the case study is Father John. Father John is a 38-year-old priest who has worked for the past 10 years in a large suburban parish. He is known by his colleagues as an academic, someone who prepares brilliant homilies but struggles to connect with others socially. As a seminarian, Father John excelled in the classroom, and after ordination, he was placed in a large parish. Because of his social difficulties, and they were apparent to the bishop, Father John was initially paired with a pastor who was adept at being personal and pastoral. This pairing provided for a very strong parish team. Father John was able to challenge the parishioners with insightful homilies, and the pastor was able to meet the people's relational needs. When his father died last year, he experienced a noticeable change in his mood, his behavior, and in his performance within the parish. He became distant and agitated. The pastor and the bishop expressed concerns, but Father John was reluctant to talk about them. He had always had significant difficulty asking for and accepting help from others. Recently after Mass, when a parishioner approached Father John about his homily, he began to cry and then to yell at the parishioner. Although this was not the first time that Father John expressed anger or frustration at one of the parishioners, this outburst was the final straw for the pastor and the bishop. Father John was referred to St. Luke's Institute for an evaluation. During Father John's evaluation, the team agreed that he was suffering from both depression and anxiety, which seemed to be related to the death of his father and his difficulties in handling loss. It also became apparent that Father John was having tremendous difficulty connecting with others. He had difficulty in one-on-one interviews and lacked strong social skills and an emotional intelligence. Father John frequently appeared nervous, rarely made eye-to-eye contact, and when he did, he tended to glare too long, making others uncomfortable. In addition, while discussing his family and social history, Father John revealed that he had never had a good friend, even as a child. He described an isolated childhood in which he found solace in academics. He received praise for this work, but was never comfortable or confident with his peers. This pattern of academic excellence and isolation was consistent throughout his seminary training. I happen to know a young gentleman who was a very dear friend of mine, who was like Father John. He, in the seminary, was extremely intelligent. But one day on a walk, when we were talking about this, he said, "You know, I'm not an athlete. I can't play the sports like the rest of you. And so what I do is I study. And then people come to me for help. And that's the role I feel I should be playing." But he used academics almost as a wall, a way, a prong, whatever you want to call it, to keep himself afloat. Father John described his childhood as very positive. However, further investigation revealed that his mother suffered from depression. His father was a university professor, and while very intelligent, he was rarely home as he conducted a great deal of research and was heavily involved at the university. Father John idolized his father and his academic achievements and was left at home with a mother who was battling depression and barely able to attend to the emotional needs of a young child. As a result, Father John was not provided with the social stimulation he needed from his mother, was isolated from his peers, and found his only validation and positive reinforcement in academic excellence. Following the evaluation, it was recommended that Father John be admitted to St. Luke's Institute. Being in residence would also provide him with a safe and supportive environment in which to develop some of the social skills and emotional intelligence that he was lacking. Treatment for Father John included individual and group therapy. Through these experiences, Father John began to identify the underlying anxiety he feels when he encounters another individual. In addition, although he began to recognize a need for relationship with others, he also realized that he did not know how to develop or maintain a friendship. Individual therapy provided him with a safe space to explore these feelings and to develop insights about his emotional needs. It also allowed him to discuss his strong attachment to his father as well as the disappointment he felt in his mother. Group therapy afforded Father John a space to practice new relational skills, a little lab for life, one might say. Father John identified that his angry outburst at parishioners or colleagues were typically related to feelings of anxiety or frustration, especially when he could not interpret others' feelings or what they needed or wanted from him. In treatment, Father John learned to recognize the physical sensations that accompany his own feelings. He expanded his emotional intelligence by paying attention to the facial expressions and body language of others, and by asking for clarification when he could not read their expressions. In addition, he practiced checking with others about their intentions rather than assuming the worst. This last paragraph, I believe, is very good for all of us in pastoral ministry, and that is trying to interpret our parishioners, especially when sometimes they come at us negatively and it seems like they're an enemy. And what do we do about it? Do we burst out? Do we label them and put them in a box and put them on a shelf? Say, well, you know, they're that type. The whole idea, paying attention to the facial expressions and body language of others, asking for clarifications. This is very, very good, because you never know what is in the mind of someone who comes up to you and just lays into you. So often, if you can get underneath, it's not you, it's something else. After several months in treatment, Father John was significantly less depressed and more aware of the implications of his own anxiety. He was more in tune with his own emotions, and he could identify feelings and emotions in others more confidently. He also learned to recognize the impact of his behavior and actions on others. More importantly, he could identify three other residents with whom he felt he had developed genuine friendships. When Father John's bishop came to visit him towards the end of the treatment, the bishop noticed that Father John seemed genuinely happy and was able to demonstrate a social comfort that the bishop had never seen before in him. Father John returned to parish work, where he began to take a more active role in meeting some of the emotional needs of the parishioners. Father John continues to work on identifying the feelings and emotions of others. With the appropriate social skills and resources that he learned in treatment, however, he is able to connect more successfully with others and can now say that he has some real friendships. The experiences of Father John are a good example of the way parental depression can impact a child's social and emotional development and can affect one's ability to demonstrate appropriate affective range. Depression can leave people feeling lethargic, down, sad, and agitated. Because Father John's primary caretaker, his mother, was detached and not emotionally present, he did not learn how to recognize others' emotions, and he did not get to practice social skills with either his parents or his peers. Father John never learned how to pay attention to social cues and facial expressions because they were not present when he was a child. As a result, he has to work hard today to identify how others are feeling. However, with treatment and the support of his newfound friends and parish community, Father John is forming real relationships with his parishioners and is experiencing a newfound sense of connectedness. End of case study. I would just comment here, from a personal aspect, but one of the things I always cherished with my mother is that we would go out and we would watch other people and how they were interacting with each other, and we would compare notes on what we saw. It was fascinating being people watchers. And she would watch the behavior of a little child and then say, you know, watch that mother. She's going to clobber that kid. I'll never forget her saying that one time when we were on a bus in Rome. But she was watching the interaction and always trying to figure out what was taking place. And it was delightful because it carried on in my own life. And I can sit out in the park and just watch people and just muse about what is going on within their minds. It's a very, very wonderful thing to try to understand people at a deeper level. And I think from a pastoral point of view, the more we can read people, the less conflict we're going to have in our parishes. I believe part of most of the conflict we have is because we misread each other, or we don't try to read each other. We don't try to understand what uniquely is going on in that person's mind when they do things that they do that are sort of contrary to what we think we should be doing. And so I think this study of Father John is a very good study in the sense that it gives us some very good pastoral advice and counsel. And may it benefit you wherever you are. Gene Hemrick here.